been very bad to us on trade, but now Canada's going to have to start paying up. And Canada's been tough on the military because they don't have a very, they have a very low military cost. They think we're going to, you know, protect them with our military, which is unfair. So Canada's going to be a very interesting situation because, you know, we just don't need their product. And yet they survive off the fact that we're, you know, we do 95% of what they do. And Canada is just absolutely, I say it, and sometimes people smile and sometimes they say, great idea, but Canada, their taxes would come down greatly, their security would go up greatly. Amazing things happen to Canada, and really Canada in this particular, why would we pay $200 billion a year in subsidies to Canada when they're not a state? You do that for a state, but you don't do that for somebody else's country.
I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 14th, 2025, and do you have any idea how profound an injustice has been done to you as Canadians by your government? Leaving you completely defenseless, your borders wide open, leaving you at the whim of communist Chinese influence, leaving you at the whim of cartel money laundering and drug trafficking and manufacture, that your cities have been destroyed. Do you have any idea how profound an injustice it has been done to the Americans by existing underneath their security umbrella, assuming that they will come to our defense regardless of what happens, that they will take care of us while we take the money that we should be spending looking after ourselves, fortifying our economy, building the energy projects which would make us a resilient nation, building out an army that would actually be something to be respected, taking that money and spending it on DEI projects in Nigeria, or building massive billion-dollar rainbow monuments in Ottawa so that everybody knows that gays are people too and trans rights are human rights. Nonsense that doesn't build any greatness, doesn't build any resilience, doesn't actually strengthen the structure of Canada. The bare bones truth of the matter is that Canada isn't a real country, and we haven't been a real country for at least 43 years. Now, I'm going to go to a user comment to spell this out a little clearer. The way that you feel about Western Canada, Frank Vaughn, is the way I feel about the Maritimes. I was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario, with no choice of my own. My parents moved to Toronto from St. John, New Brunswick, where my parents lived and where my brothers and a sister was born. My sister, who is a year older than me, was born in March of 1964. It is the same year my parents decided to move to Toronto in the summer after my grandmother, McLaughlin, passed away. A year later, in 1965, I was born in Toronto. I have always had a special place in my heart for New Brunswick, where my family's ancestry started from the moment Charles McLaughlin made his way to the northern New Brunswick in 1786 and eventually started a family there after marrying his French Acadian wife, Anne Le Breton McLaughlin of Gaspé, Quebec, and brought into this world 10 children, 5 sons and daughters. I am sure there are a lot of Canadians with roots in the Atlantic provinces of Canada feel the same way about their ancestry. Whether it be Newfoundland or Labrador or Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island or New Brunswick, me, I now have relatives in all 4 of those provinces. So Frank Vaughn, thank you for reminding me why I love my country and why I won't give up on her. You and your memory isn't tied to the political entity that is Canada. This is the kind of claptrap that people are caught in. It's important. But the link between Canada, the political entity, and your heritage is false. Number one, I had a grandfather and I had uncles. They were present on the beach at D-Day. They fought and they liberated Europe from Nazi Germany. They did so under a flag called the Red Ensign. Most of you won't remember it, because it was replaced in 1965 with the maple leaf that we have now. Your Constitution and your Bill of Rights was overrun in 1982 by Pierre Trudeau when he repatriated the Constitution. The Charter of Rights and Freedom is a pale echo of what the Bill of Rights actually gave us. You didn't get a plebiscite. You didn't get a referendum. You, as citizens, didn't get to vote on it. There was negotiations, mostly held in private. And the job and deal was done, and they didn't even complete it because Quebec never signed the document. So the country that you remember, this linkage between your heritage and the land and the political entity, has already been erased. And you gloss over that fact. You gloss over the fact that your country has been sold out from under your feet, that you have been left defenseless, that you have been overrun by mass immigration, that drug abuse and drug addiction is free and open everywhere, that the government wants to become the main supplier. You just erase all that fact in your head. That comes not of your heritage. That comes not of the people who have been here for so long. That comes not of the land underneath your feet. Those things remain if you change your politics. Those things remain if you change your flag, because you've already changed your flag. We've already gone through multiple iterations. The country that you're talking about, your people and your family settling, has been gone. It's already been gone two times over. Was Canada a thing when the British came here? Was Canada a thing when the French came here? Was the British and the French governments, were they identical to the governments of today? The politics changes. The political structure changes. The legalistic structure changes. But your heritage remains. We can change from a nation into a state. We can change from a nation into multiple nations. And the heritage and the story and the history of how we arrived at this better place, a better deal for the people, remains. It doesn't go away. But what does go away is a system that disenfranchises its citizens. What does go away is a system that spends in excess of what it brings in, stealing from you your wealth so that it can print money and hyperinflate your savings away. What does go away is a legacy, a political legacy of not just Justin Trudeau, but all the people who have sat in office. Pictured here with Peter Daglish. Another picture of Peter. The implications are clear. A picture is worth a thousand tragic words. Meanwhile, the CBC wants to tell you that this Order of Canada recipient, pinned on his chest under the reign of Justin Trudeau, was convicted for sexual assault in Nepal of multiple child victims. And the CBC, your billion-dollar enterprise, would also go away, writes an article covering for him and saying that the defense insists that he was innocent. Again, a picture is worth a thousand words. The decent people, the law-abiding people of this land, don't go away because you flush away the corrupt politicians. Pictured on screen is Justin Trudeau sitting with Ben Levin. Now, setting aside for a moment that seated on Trudeau's left is Kathleen Wynne, who was having an affair on her husband when she came out as a lesbian, and the poor cucked out man was living in the basement while she was upstairs doing her thing as Premier of Ontario. Ben Levin was the Minister of Education. He crafted the sex ed curriculum, which is still taught in Ontario to this day. Doug Ford promised to remove it, promised to change it, never did. Ben Levin was convicted for possession of child pornography. When you say you're unconditionally loyal to Canada, when you unite under the demands of Team Canada, you're actually talking about this. You're not talking about your history. You're not talking about your legacy. You're not talking about your heritage or the land. Those things survive no matter what political structure you adopt. You're being loyal to these people who have so corrupted and defiled and destroyed Canada. You want to rest your argument on your legacy of men who died in Normandy. Is this what they fought and died for? Oh, how we who are afraid of change are fond of cherry-picking our legacies and our memories of what has meaning and glossing over, or even resting on our ignorance as to the reality of the situation. Are you loyal to a political structure, whether federal or provincial, that gives you the Cornwall Inquiry? How many of you even know what the Cornwall Inquiry was? It was a commission of inquiry that was established by the government of Ontario on April 14th, 2005, to inquire into and report on events surrounding allegations of abuse of young people in Cornwall, Ontario. A snapshot, a microcosm of the much greater problem that is alive and well today in Canada, targeting your children for destruction in your public schools. the politics, the political structure of Canada that has inserted DEI, that brings trans people into the schoolroom, that encourages you to take your children to drag shows, that tells you that there's a gender unicorn and that they can change sexes as easily as their clothes. Is that what your ancestors fought for? Why are you defending a political structure? Not the land, not the people. The political structure that delivers this to you, that's left you defenseless, that's sold out your industries and done much worse. The Cornwall Inquiry found that many people in positions of power and influence abused children. There were allegations of ritual abuse. This is, again, just one little town, symbolic of all the other little towns. We talk about residential schools. What do you think was going on behind those doors? Not in every one, but certainly in many, and we know that and we acknowledge that, but we never hear a constant reminder that the Cornwall Inquiry happened. And even though they found guilt, assessed it to over a dozen people, they said it was outside their scope to identify a pattern, that it was outside their scope to identify a conspiracy, that even though evidence might have suggested, one way or the other, that there was a conspiracy to abuse children in a systemic way, it was outside their purview. So after all these millions of dollars were spent and after all of these dots were connected, it was suppressed and quietly shoved under the carpet like so much else in this nation. What is your loyalty tied to? While the Americans are restoring decency to public life, removing the taint of DEI and the rainbow agenda, signing executive orders in a sea of young girls to protect them from predation by men in their sports, their locker rooms, their shelters, Canada is going full speed ahead, allowing these things to flourish. Now, setting aside these very serious matters, remember, when I see the Canada flag now, it hurts my heart. As Freedom Convoy returns, there's a tug of war over the maple leaf. They tried to cancel the Canadian flag. When genuine Canadians, the people that you are loyal to, because I think your loyalty is to the people, I think it is to the land, but you have a misguided piece, and that is the loyalty to the political institution of this country, which is fake, fraudulent, and has sold you out. They hated the flag. They tried to cancel Canada Days all over this country as a sign of protest only 2 years ago. And now they try to wrap themselves in the flag. You have the Grim Reaper, Mark Carney. Your loyalty is tied to this man. He is very likely to be your unelected prime minister. The fact of the matter is, I think the most likely scenario now is he becomes leader. Jagmeet Singh reneges on his promise to trigger an election because we're facing an emergency. The Americans are daring to try and tell us the truth about ourselves, to shine a light on what Canada has become. Not just a bad partner for the United States, but a corruption-filled nation. I've shown you in my videos. I've proved it. Go watch them. Mark is promising. He is campaigning to destroy you. To engage in a trade war we cannot win, to shut down energy supplies to the United States, to shut down minerals. It's a double-barreled shotgun pointed at your own face. So whenever you say, Team Canada, and I'm not ready to give up, remember that your leaders have already given up. I think Mark is going to be your prime minister. He will not be elected to parliament. He will sit over parliament like a globalist dictator. He will be supported, and your election will be delayed. He has said he will bring in an emergency act. That gives him unlimited powers. He said he will lock you down. And people are applauding this like seals. And the fact of the matter is, honest polling, after all the polls that have tried to push this guy and tried to make him appear popular, he can't fill a room, and everybody in the room looks like they'd want to be anywhere but there. Nobody in the media talks about how white his crowds are and how old his crowds are. They do it for Polyev all the time, but they don't talk about how white this guy's following is. But I digress. I believe the powers that be would love to have the endorsement of the public in an election, but they cannot allow Polyev to win because he's a bit of a wild card compared to Carney. But if they can't win an election, they'll just fail to trigger one. And it's not just liberals who have given up on Canada while pretending to be standing up for it. This all started happening under the Harper government, and Pierre Poilievre, as well as Maxim Bernier were part of the Harper government. This is Poilievre. President Trump is wrong. We will never be a 51st state. Canada is and always will be a proud, sovereign, independent nation. The latest American threats of tariffs on our steel and aluminum industry deserve a response from this government. The Canadian people are strong. These are all just mealy-mouth words. We are not sovereign because we've yielded so much of our sovereignty to extra-national organizations like the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, who guide our policy all the way down to the municipal level. Every single smart city you see is a product of an unelected body. We're not really independent because we've handed over that sovereignty. Now, we might be proud of our heritage and we might be proud of the land, but why take pride in the politics of this country and the political structure, which denies you so much power? You can't do anything as a citizen except pay tax and mark an X on a ballot every so often. That's all you get. It's pathetic. You have more people in positions of power over your lives that are appointed basically for life than you do elected representatives. That's wrong. Disassociate your loyalty for the land and the people from your loyalty to the government and the politics. You can replace this and retain this. Why don't people understand this concept? He also says, the misnomer that it's a threat to our steel and aluminum industries. These tariffs are global in nature. They're not just targeted at Canada. And he says the Canadian people are strong, and maybe we are. But we are not strong militarily in spite of his virtue signaling. And we're not strong as an industrial base. We're not strong as a manufacturing base. It's been gutted in a bipartisan way all the way along. And you can look at Stephen Harper and you can say times were better under him. Which is why I think Poilievre is talking about returning our immigration to levels that were seen under Stephen Harper. But this doesn't fix anything. Deportation for wrongdoers doesn't fix the cultural rot at the heart of the society. It doesn't fix what's gone wrong. It's window dressing. And I'm a Poilievre voter. I will vote for him all day because he's the only one that can win. And he will stand a greater chance of aligning with the new Americanism and the new order of things that's going to come out of this time that we're living in than anybody else. My life will get better if he starts putting criminals in jail. My life will get better if he stops prosecuting and persecuting legal firearms owners. There's many things. My life will get better if he takes a strong stance when it comes to gender. He's talked about that. These are all good things, taking us in the right direction. But they don't solve the underlying problems. He's already said he won't do anything about equalization. Quebec, who's not even a member of the country, they're a voluntary participant. The whole country is run for the benefit of Quebec. As a voluntary participant who didn't even sign the documents, has said they will not allow pipelines to be built. All these ideas, all these maybes about building out resilience, which will take 5 or 10 years to do, are just that. They're maybes. They should have been doing this a long time ago. Instead, they were lined up to gut the country. It is just the truth that even the Conservative Party of Canada was more than happy to privatize our industries. I need to go back in time a little bit to Brad Wall, the Premier of Saskatchewan, in this tale from the hinterlands of Canada. Brad Wall was arguably as popular as Tommy Douglas was, and maybe more consequential. It's a debate that happens in history. Long the preserve of the political left in Canada, Wall talked about protecting the economic and social interests of Canada and warned of a hollowing out of the corporate sector in Canada and of becoming a branch plant economy. Branch plant economy. That's what we are now, because this process didn't stop. This process accelerated under Justin Trudeau to the point now where people are putting together lists of Buy Canadian products, and most of the Buy Canadian products they're listing are owned by American parent companies or other foreign companies. We can't even find a list of products anymore that are properly owned, and then people will fall back on, well, they have a plant in Canada. This is what Brad Wall warned us about, branch plant economy. He asked, do we want to add Potash Corp to that list of once proud Canadian companies that now are under foreign control? It's our government's belief that the people of Saskatchewan deserve nothing less than a potash industry unequivocally operated and marketed for the benefit of Canada and Saskatchewan. This was in response to Australian giant BHP and their head Cloppers, his name was Cloppers, their bid to buy out the potash industry. Stephen Harper was all set to go ahead with it. At this time, Bernier was coming back in from his time in the wilderness because he'd been caught with those documents. He had been replaced as a minister of industry, where he advocated for the sellout of this country like no other person in that caucus. People have short memories. They elevate Bernier as a hero now, but they forget that he revolted even Stephen Harper in his zeal for selling out this nation, specifically to the communist Chinese, that he wanted a free trade agreement, that he wanted to open us up and let them buy everything. That was Bernier. And at this time, there wasn't much opposition to his point of view. They just didn't want to go as fast as Bernier wanted to go, but I digress. The Harper government was set to approve it and sell out the potash industry of Saskatchewan into the hands of another foreign buyer. And the Saskatchewan MPs, they rebelled. They said, we won't vote for it, and we might even have to leave the party. And they basically, along with Brad Wall, put a gun to the Harper government's head, and this was denied. This takeover bid was denied. It was not the wish of the federal government. They gave away other companies. But on this one, they didn't. Now, what has happened since Brad Wall's time? Canada has only accelerated its decline. In the time that Stephen Harper was in office, you didn't have cities full of homeless camps and fent zombies and meth heads. You actually had a much more structurally cohesive society. We had stronger resilience. We had a stronger military. And while we give it all away to the Ukrainians, we denude ourselves to the point where we don't have the strength to defend ourselves. We just count on our neighbor. We talk about the Americans in glowing terms. They're always our best friends when it comes to our politicians talking. But is that how you conduct yourself in a relationship with your friend? You just take for granted that they will spend their money, their time, their resources, their lives to allow you to remain the corrupt little narco state that you actually are? That they'll just continue to allow you to be the way that you are? You take it for granted, and then when somebody raises a hand to you, they will do the fighting for you? What kind of a nation are we? We can't even stand on our own. Again, that pride you feel in your people and that pride you feel in the land doesn't go away, but you should feel no pride in your government. No pride in your flag. What is wrong with you? And I know there's people out there making the counter argument. I know I'm in the minority. I don't care because I know I'm right. I know how bad it's gotten. I'm showing you how bad it's got. These guys, they get on their phones and they talk for 2 minutes, acting like they know something. I saw a dude in a cowboy hat and a beard cursing and swearing, and he went viral because people love that stuff. But he doesn't have anything up here. He doesn't actually have the knowledge of where we are and what we've become. He doesn't have the detail. Any of these guys, if they set foot on stage with me, I would bury them in facts. That's why they hide behind their phones. They're just another person with an opinion. And I don't mind opinions, but they should be founded. Canada, the political entity, is past its prime. It's got to be renegotiated or it has to be discarded. And you don't lose yourself, you don't lose your family, and you don't lose your history because you make a better deal for the people. Do the people not deserve better? Do you not deserve more sovereignty? Do you not deserve empowerment? Aren't these buzzwords that the political left uses in this country all the time to convince you to go along with all of their DEI initiatives? What I'm talking about is genuine empowerment. What I'm talking about is representation for the people, not the flag and not the politics. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.